It is great to have you on the Family Goals podcast with Davey Pollock and Pastor Jay. I'm Jolyn House, and on this podcast, we want to encourage you to grow closer to God, to strengthen your marriage, and to inspire your family to reach its highest potential. I would like to highlight a ministry that I have loved for years, Compassion International. Compassion is an incredible organization that is all about releasing children from poverty in Jesus' name. They currently serve over 2 million children and their families in some of the most poverty-stricken areas of the world, and here is my favorite part. All of this is happening in the local church. Compassion is all about equipping the local church so every single child is cared for by the leaders in their community. As a pastor, I found Compassion to be a strategic part of our global mission strategy. As a church, we've incorporated Compassion into our focus on Honduras. Compassion made it easy for everyone in our church to put their faith in action by caring for a child in need. I would encourage anyone listening to learn more about Compassion, sponsor a child, and release them from poverty in Jesus' name. Visit compassion.com/family goals to sponsor a child today.
What is up, everybody? I think a lot of the news came out today, and a lot of y'all heard that I won't be brought back to College Game Day next year or to ESPN. And just wanted to say thank you to so many people. I just appreciate everybody along the journey, you know, 12, 13 years ago, ESPN taking a chance on me and all the people that I get to work with. Man, I got to work with so many great people and do so many things that was so awesome for so many years. And I'm just very, very thankful for it. And I don't know what's next. I have no clue what's next in my life. But one thing God's shown me all along the way, man, is He is for me. He's not against me. And NFL broke my neck. Career's over. Find TV. You know, found coaching the last couple years, found speaking the last couple years. So I know God's got something amazing for me. I don't know what it's going to be, but thank you to all my teammates and all the people that played a part in it, and all you that watched and cheered me on. And I don't know what's next, but I know it's going to be amazing.
So Davey, this is the first time that you and I have sat down to talk.
In a while. Because you've been on a 17-month vacation.
I have been off. Uh-huh. But I don't want this to be about me. I want it to be about you.
Okay.
Because everybody's been asking me. Everybody's been saying, what's Davey going to do? Did he know it was coming?
Did something big happen?
Well, you tell me.
Did something happen from the last time we talked?
Everybody's asking me all these questions. I thought we should have this interview and just take us back. Like, I want to go back to the phone call.
The day.
Like, walk us through.
It was a cold.
Kind of what happened.
A cold, dark day, July 2nd. It was right before we went out of town. We were going to Maine in Boston with the family, which was an awesome trip. Boston was amazing. Never been there before, but I would highly recommend that. I'm sitting there in the kitchen, and I get a call from one of my superior guys. And I don't know why, but right away I was like, that's strange.
Kind of had that feeling.
Like July.
I
don't hear from him very often.
Something's not right here.
I thought something was wrong, and then he just picked up the phone. He was like, hey, man. We talked about his kids for a minute, and he was like, hey, this is difficult. I just got to tell you, you know, we're making a lot of layoffs, and you're going to be one of the ones that are laid off. So it was it, and that was quick, fast, in a hurry, no clue. So everybody that asked, no, I had no clue it was coming. And I told him, man, I told him right there on the phone. I was just like, hey, dude, like, you've got nothing to be sorry about. Like, I have had an amazing ride. Like, this has been awesome. Like, I would not trade this. I would not turn it in. I got to go travel the country, see things, give my family experiences that I never would have gotten. So I was like, dude, you have nothing to apologize for. You have nothing to be sorry about. And he's like, well, that's what sucks about it. That's what makes it even harder. So now it definitely changes a lot of different things, but I definitely did not expect it.
What was your kind of coming off that phone call? What was your first response? I mean,
well, to tell my wife, that was my first response.
How did that go?
It was good. I was just like, hey, I was like, yeah, they said we gone. And, I don't know. I wasn't upset. There wasn't any tears. I will say this, there was only two things that were really, really hard. And I don't know why, but telling my kids was difficult. It was more difficult than I thought. Just because Leah's a little bit more inquisitive, and I didn't think about, like, you know, maybe them being a little scared for the future about whatever's going to happen and whatever goes on. You just don't think. I don't think about that because I'm not the least bit. So we told them in the car because I found out, and then we were leaving to go to the airport, which was perfect timing, by the way. Unbelievable timing. because we got away for like 5 days straight, 6 days straight. So we told them in the car. And then the only other call, I talked to a bunch of the people from the show, but I texted Reese. And then me and Reese didn't get to talk until I got to the airport. And that's when I had some tears.
He's like, such a great guy.
He's my dude. He's my guy on the road that, you know, we've done life together. And I trust him with everything in me. I would consider him one of my great friends. And we don't see each other half the year. But here's the thing. My first comment to him was also like, I also know what this means. And what this means is we're not going to get time together. And you know what happens when you don't get time together. People mm-hmm. drift apart. Yeah. And his first comment was, that's not going to happen. And I guess I'll be at your golf tournament every year, you know? And so, like, I think that made me feel better. But that was probably the only thing that was a little bit difficult was telling the babies, telling Reese. But then it was off to Montana to Sicy and off to Boston. And I've never received, and this was really, really cool, man. I've never received so many texts in my life over the next, you know, week. And I tried to put my phone away during the day, and then I would try at night to answer everybody because I don't like to not answer people. I try to as best I can. I'm not always great at it, but I try to be respect. Now, if Woj texts me, I ignore Woj every time. But
we know that.
Yeah, our show producer just for I don't listen to him. But so I tried to. But that was the coolest thing. The coolest thing was God, you know, showing up in those text messages and sending that encouragement because. And it was behind the scenes people at ESPN, like people that nobody knows who they, Bama Dave, people that nobody knows who they are. But I got to have an impact and I got to be in their lives for a little while. And Tommy from behind the scenes and so many people that I've got to hear from and how I inspired them or, you know, helped them think of things certain ways and maybe look at things certain ways. And so I think that was really rewarding to know. I've been here, you know, I've already lost a dream before. And I think we'll get, you know, into more about what's come out of this, but, those are the conversations that were had. And those are the things that go through your mind, but the people reaching out and, you know, and nobody, not a single person reached out to me and was like, hey, I'm so sorry. I can't believe it. Like what on earth, what's going on? Like, how are you going to do next? Every single person, I loved it. They all reached out, and it was like, hey, I know God's got something for you. And I was like, you're dang right. Mm-hmm. And that's what I loved. Ain't no point to be, don't cry because it's over. Like, what we got to have. You know, I always say smile because it happened. And the opportunity that we got to live and got to do, like, it was amazing. So, no ill feelings here.
Well, I want to go back to you telling your kids, because I'm thinking for the Pollock family and you and I have kind of been walking through the life, you know, the last 10, 12, 15 years.
Yeah.
And y'all have had some ups and downs, but the last few years, I feel like the Pollock family's been nothing but up and to the right. And as your kids are old enough to understand life a little bit, this is maybe the first thing that's happened in your life in recent years that's kind of been a disappointment.
Yep.
And so I think maybe your kids are hurting because they're worried about dad.
And I would say there's two things that have come out of this that I look at right now that I already think, I'd say three things. One, I've never depended on God for my daily decisions in my career more than I do right now. Hmm. Like I've never been more reliant on him. Like,
cause everything was set. I mean, everything was kind of,
I've been riding a bike for 12 years, yeah. 13 years. You just get it. And I want to encourage people cause that's what we all do. Like we get in a path and we get set in motion and we start to chase and we just run and we kind of lose sight of things. And now the coolest thing about that is I get to refocus now and I get to go in 15 years. What does success look like? And so that's a different question. I wasn't asking that question as much. So the first thing was I hadn't prayed as much about my future as I should. And I should have been way more prayed up and I should have been more cognizant of that. I stopped thinking about the art of the possible. Like I stopped thinking about what I could do, what I could be. And I was just going autopilot. And when I say I've had some of the coolest conversations in the world, like I mean, just the amount of people that I've talked to in the business world, in leadership world, in college football world, it's been crazy. It's been nuts the amount of people I've gotten to talk to. And a lot of them, the same thing is like, hey, I want to be able to help you in any way I can because I love the way you live your life. And that's been really, really cool. Three, and this is what you just said, my kids haven't had struggle. They haven't seen me struggle. They haven't seen me have to walk through a phase of being obedient when it hurts. And that this is the best thing ever. Because I love going to bed and I'm like, hey, guys, like Nicholas, I've told him several nights, I'm like, hey, dude, pray for me. Because I don't have a clue what's next. But I do know that God's got me. But I want him to use me for the best way he can use me. Like, pray that he puts me in the perfect spot that can be used. I get to show that to my kids now. I get to model that to my kids. And that's an unbelievable opportunity. Like, that is so awesome. And that is such a blessing that we haven't had. Listen, we've been super fortunate and super blessed along the way that we haven't had a lot of hiccups. And so I've prayed a lot in my life, and I've said this on podcast, for God to sting us and sting my kids, just so they feel it and they know what it feels like, and they learn how to respond. Mm-hmm. You know, not, I don't want them to get electrocuted. I just want them to get stung. You know what I'm saying? Like, just a little bit. And so I think for us and the family, it's been that, and it's been really, really cool. Like, what does your response look like? Like, for everybody that I've spoke to, how many people, Jonathan, have you talked to? Have I talked to about their faith and standing firm and staying strong? All right, big fella, you talked it. Are you going to walk it?
Well, that's what I was just thinking. Like, this is your opportunity to put your faith into action, because it's easy to talk about all these things when everything's rolling and everything's going smooth. And so this is your opportunity personally for your marriage and as you said, modeling it for your kiddos. Kids.
Oh, yeah.
So you mentioned a couple things there. One is some of these crazy, cool conversations you've had. Now, can you share some of those with us? Like, what are some of the amazing conversations that have come out of this?
The people I've talked to, just, you know, from SEC commissioner and ACC commissioner and college football coaches and, you know, the leadership, like talking to Andy Stanley for over an hour on the phone, talking to John Maxwell. I've talked to John Maxwell a couple times on the phone now for over an hour a time. And just
like people you normally wouldn't be talking to.
I wouldn't be talking to them, no, in a million years. Yeah. And I think talking to them about the future, but picking people's brains that do things that are awesome and extraordinary. But again, I think I got that opportunity because I was living for God and I was doing the things that I'm supposed to do and trying to, listen, I'm not going to sit here and say I'm perfect, but like I was trying to do the best I could. And so now all these art of the possible, like we just talked about a second ago, come into mind. And now it's like, what do I want to do? What do I want to be? So it's been very difficult to take all that information from SEC commissioner, ACC commissioner, Dabo, Kirby, like all these guys that you're getting stuff from and it's coming in and like, okay, to me, the hardest thing now is what's my next steps? And one thing that I'm praying for and going to continue to pray for, and that I'm going to wait for. So we had the neck, and we've talked about this in the podcast, broke my neck, be still and know that I am God. I did that. I had an opportunity to do that. God made me do that. Well, I think I got another opportunity here to be still and to know that he is God and know he's in control. But my biggest fear is that a door is going to be cracked and I push it open. And I just don't want to do that. I want God to fling that door wide open. And I want it to be so obvious. But I think the one thing that is abundantly clear, because here's the thing. We've talked about this many a times. I was on camera. It was something I did. But it wasn't who I was. And it wasn't something. And I've told you how many times. I don't impact lives. But God took my platform and widened it and gave me such grace and more people know me, et cetera, so on. But why did I coach high school football? Why did I still go speak at FCA? Because I wanted the fulfillment of being around people and helping people. And I didn't necessarily get that with my job. And so to me, like, what does success look like? To me, what are my gifts that I can help people with? I want to come beside young people and show them how to live their lives. Like, I want to teach them how to be disciplined. I want to teach them how to respond to adversity. I want to teach them all the things I can and give them all I can about how to live a successful life and learning how to fight when it's hard and all that stuff. And how do I accomplish that? And, you know, I'm speaking in a couple of weeks to Liberty University, to 9,000 students.
Oh, wow. At their chapel service?
Yeah. I'm going to go speak awesome. To them. And like, again, I don't know if it's something I probably wouldn't have done it because I might not have had the opportunity, but the speaking, man, I think is what all the stuff in all the realms and everything that I keep coming back to in my heart is, okay, if I coach, I want to speak. If I commentate, I want to speak. So I'm going to speak. Like I'm going to go and share. And this is something that Maxwell was incredible, man. I mean, you just, like you've seen the books and you've heard him talk before, probably John Maxwell, and it's insane. But to talk to him and have him give you immediate feedback, and it's been unbelievable. John Gordon's been unbelievable.
John Maxwell, it's interesting. I just gave Jolan a book by John Maxwell, The Art of Communication, or The Laws of Communication, which yep. I just started reading. The 16 Undeniable Laws of Communication. And I read the first chapter yesterday, actually. And he talks about what is your message. And I love that. I think you're figuring out what your message is.
Yeah. And it's hard. I mean, it's difficult to, it's just like anybody else out there. We all have these different pots and these different things that we like, that we see. And now which one do I really want to delve into? And I'm coaching more full time now than I was, because I get to be a part of that more
with the
and more.
High school.
Yeah, with the high school, which is unbelievable, and it's awesome, and I love it. And my son's up there now, so it's even better. I get more time with him.
Which he's gotten huge, by the way.
He is getting
big.
How
tall is he?
6'1"-ish.
Yeah.
But you know what's crazy is it's amazing the justification that we do in our heads and in our brains, because I'm like, listen, I don't travel January 17th through August with my job. And that was an amazing blessing. I traveled very little bit for the draft for a couple of times, maybe mm-hmm. like a week and a half. And I was like, my job allows me to be at home. Well, I was gone Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 17 weeks in a row, 16 weeks in a row. It's a lot of time gone. Like, I got an awesome opportunity now when my kids, one going into high school, one going in eighth grade, to get a lot more time with them. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, God doesn't make mistakes. There's no accidents. And it's just what do I need to learn? I don't want to go to the next step until I've learned what he wants me to learn. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to stay right here. And it's not miserable, but if it was miserable, I'd still want to stay right here until I get what I need to, in my direction and my next steps of what I need. But it's been a huge blessing. Not just those guys that I named, but friends in my life that have poured into me, that I've had amazing conversations with awesome dudes in my life that I just love and appreciate.
So you and I have talked a lot about this. So really, kind of from the outside looking in, one of the things you and I have continued to talk about over and over again is using the platform that God has given you to impact as many people as you can for Christ. And I feel like the last couple of years and through the podcast and some of the things we've done on social media, your platform has increased. And you always say you don't have an impact behind the camera. And I still think you have an impact, but it's like God, I can see him elevating your platform over the last couple of years specifically for whatever it is that is to come.
Yeah.
I mean, the other thing you said is the art of possibility. Like what I love that phrase. That is, I don't know that I've heard that before.
I don't know where it came from.
What?
So, it's just, I think, again, I don't know that we look at it like with our lives of what do we want to be? What do we want to accomplish? I think very successful people are 5-year thinkers, 3-year thinkers, 2-year thinkers, 1-year thinkers. But I think the majority of people in me are not those people. Like, it's more of a day to day, hour to hour, minute to minute type of deal. And I think that means wherever you go in life and whatever you start to do, you're kind of in that form, and that's the way you're going to go regardless, where, you know, what is possible? What are the things that I can be praying for? What are the things that I could possibly do that could have a huge impact? And I think something for all of us. I think all of us can look in the future a little bit more and not just what do you want your kids to say in 5 years? What do you want your wife to say in 5 years? I don't think it's, what do you want your walk to be, you know, in 5 years? I think we all, I think very, very successful people can do that. And I think I need to do a better job of that. And I've realized that for sure.
Well, I think the art of possibility, I think you're someone who really thinks outside the box. And so in their minds, you're a college football analyst. But as you and I've talked, like you've had some pretty big dreams. I mean, you've thought about being like a game show host.
Yeah.
Of course, you're writing a book right now. You and I've talked about writing the Family Goals book.
Yeah.
Sounds like speaking has become a big part of what you're doing. So the possibilities are, but I love what you said about, because I think so quickly when we go through difficult times, we think what's next, and that door's barely cracked. We're like running through it, but you're saying, hey, I'm going to take some time to be patient and wait on the Lord.
Yep.
And see, I like how, whatever door he flings up, and maybe it's many different doors and many, many different opportunities.
Yeah, and I got a text from a college football coach, and it said, what are you going to do next? And my first thought is, I don't know. What do you think? What do you have? What's available? You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. What's available? And I just didn't answer.
I had tons of people saying, well, is he going to go coach at Georgia? Is he going to go coach at Clemson?
Whatever. I mean, whatever can be, I think will make itself really known. But, I mean, I definitely, the speaking thing, I'm diving head first. Like, I know mm-hmm. that is something that, and here's one thing I talked about Maxwell with, and this is something I encourage, you know, everybody, because we're going to have the majority of people listen to us who are Christians. I talked about, I want to speak. And when you speak to Christians, like we have a respect already. We have a brotherhood. We're brothers in Christ, me and you. So mm-hmm. you naturally, you're going to have respect for me regardless. When you go speak to secular people, you don't have that respect. You don't have that commonality, right? Like you don't have that that ground that already gives you credibility and credence into somebody's life where you can speak. And he was like, he said, when you go speak to corporate folks, he said, it's a different animal. Mm. But it's also a demographic that, well, do you only want to speak to Christians? I mean, I don't. I mean,
we're called to the Great Commission. We're called to go and make disciples.
Correct. And yeah. I'm going to do that. And I'm going to share my faith. But the corporate really intrigues me too, because there's going to be a lot of lost. But also, John Maxwell said, he said, all I did was, when I went from pastoring for 25 years and when I went to the corporate world, is he said, I took biblical principles and just didn't make them biblical. Like, I taught the same principles, the biblical principles, but just didn't put them in the Bible heading, you know, mm-hmm. and didn't put in that category for people. But, you know, I think my life, my stories, my adversity that people, because just like when I spoke now, I'm like, y'all see, you know, y'all see first round draft pick and y'all see college game day. And what you don't see is Georgia, three positions in a year. And what you don't see is broken neck before, you know, after that dream, before I got to get, what you don't see is all these things that have happened. And I've always tried to use my story to encourage. And I think now it's going to be more focused on that, more focused on how to phrase things, what to say. Have to be probably a little bit more organized, but I've probably gotten 50 opportunities in the last, you know, month or so to go speak. And I'm
50
going
50 speaking opportunities.
Opportunities, but I'm going to South Dakota. I'm going to Texas. I'm going to Florida. I'm going to Alabama. I'm going all over the place. And the majority of them, I went to Ponte Vedra, Florida and spoke to a steel company, a corporation, which was awesome. And so a good thing is I get to take my bride with me most of the time, and we get to go travel and make a date weekend of it, or mm-hmm. a couple of days of it. But that's, speaking is definitely is something I'm going to continue to dive headfirst into no matter what I do.
What do you think your core message is when you're speaking? Like what is God laying on your heart to share with other people?
I think it's what we kind of just talked about. It's that you're going to hit adversity. And I think how do I maximize every day? How do I bring passion and energy despite what how do I have, you know, standards over feelings, you know, like how do I be my best when things go wrong? And how do I keep climbing that mountain? Because I think a lot of people go hard and then get frustrated, but how do I continue to work towards something when, just like when I started on air, I mean, I went for 4, 5, 6 years, but when I was CBS College Sports to Fox to local Fox to ESPNU, you know, and how do I continue to work and to grind to get where I want to get to? I think the season I've been in and what we've been doing on here is a big message. Like, how do we teach people how to be better fathers and dads, and how do we teach people about their priorities and their discipline? How do we get to parents that with sports? And I mean, I just think there's a lot of avenues of how do we help somebody realize, you know, how to maximize life and how life really is, how you can maximize every day and make every day count, you know, like mm-hmm. I think it's a message with all of my stories and all of my things that I keep coming back to. No, cause that's no matter what the age, like that's a middle school kid. Like you got to teach a middle school kid the same thing. Like some days suck. Some days you're in your feelings. Some days you don't feel great, but I still got to bring it. You know, I do whatever I need to do to make sure that I have a great day. Like who can ruin your day? Nobody, you know? And I think all these sayings, all these things, I don't know what that looks like. And that's what I'm saying. It's so wide with that, but how do we take that and now make it pointed and focused? And you know me, I'm big on takeaways. Like I don't do well with, you know, the fire hose of information of a sermon, whoever it is. I don't do well with all of these things without tangible takeaways that I can go step one, step two, step three. You know, like we've talked about on here I've talked about putting your wife first. And so to me, you know, it was telling the kids who's number one. Remember I said, hug your wife first when you come in the house, hug your wife first when you go to leave her, give her a kiss first. You know, I need tangible steps. So whatever it is, I want to make sure with my message, with sharing, like everybody I get a request for speaking, every single one of them, I send back and I said, what's your win? Like, what is a win? Me coming and speaking.
What are they hoping to accomplish by bringing you in?
100%, which is really awesome. Like, it's a really cool thing to ask them that and then go, okay, how does my story and my stories, how can I have fun with them, enjoy it, but also teach the message in a corporate setting or in a church or FCA of what you want me to get accomplished by that? And then obviously pray that God uses me in a good way.
Well, think about the impact that you're having. You're getting the opportunity to speak all over the country, and that's, you know, touching many different people. But I like also that you're discipling, like you're coaching the kids. So you got the big picture stuff, kind of the macro ministry, but then you got the micro ministry, and you were telling me how you've been discipling Khalil Barnes, and pouring your life. Tell me. So like you got the macro ministry, but then you got the personal ministry. You got the personal touch, the everyday y'all are like doing life together. And the model of Jesus, and Jesus taught the multitudes, but then he poured his life into a few. And so you're really doing both. I mean, you're pouring your life into, I'm gonna say a few good men. Movie quote there. But tell us a little bit about Khalil and what you're doing with him.
Well, I think all of us, man, we all need accountability. And I'm just telling you, I don't work great without it. I just don't. Like, you know, when I go through books, I try to find somebody to go through a book with, because I try to say, hey, we're going to do one chapter a day, one chapter a week. Send me your thoughts. I have to send my thoughts. Like, I work best like that. And what I've also learned is I've tried to help, and you've probably mastered this 30 years ago. I always want to help. I don't care where it is, who it is. Like, I want to help people. I want to make them better. But I've also finally realized, like, I can't help people that don't want to help themselves. But when you get somebody in your life that you know they want it, and they're seeking it, and they're reaching out, like, dude, those are the ones pour into mm-hmm. them. And
Kate, I call it feed the hungry.
Yeah.
You got to feed the hungry.
And dude, KB's a kid that texted me probably 3 or 4 weeks ago. I don't know how many weeks ago it was. And he was like, hey, I'm trying to stack some spiritual habits. Like, this is a freshman in college.
That's how he worded it.
That's a great start. Like, well, we talk about stacking habits at football, and I coached him last year, and just, he was like, I'm trying to build something. And I was like, all right, well, let's just start going through the Bible. I was like, let's pick a book and start reading it. And, you know, listen, I put this on him. Like, and that's one thing, again, I'm learning. Like, I have so many people with diet that pick my brain all the time about stuff. And what am I learning? I'm learning the people that that want to do it are the ones going to be asking questions. They're going to want to do it themselves. I can't make them do it, so I can't prompt them all the time. KB has texted me every single day the last couple weeks, and we're reading one book in the Bible every day. And we went through James, obviously, quick because there's five chapters in James, and now we're flying through John. But man, it's just cool because he told me, he was like, hey, I know this might be a little bit boring for you. I'm like, bro, no, it's not. Because I said, first of all, I'm seeing it through your eyes, which I haven't seen it through young kids' eyes in a long time because I ain't young no more. And I said, but me reading my Bible every day and getting in the Word is going to help me because this means something different than it did last time I read it because I'm at a different stage and really just trying to help make him understand that too. He's helping me like crazy. But then we just text, and he texted me last night, whatever chapter we're in, and he sent me thoughts, and then I'm like, well, did you think about this? And he'll send back stuff, and it's just really, really cool to have life on life discipleship and watch him grow, watch him build. And with Nicholas, man, it's the coolest thing ever, you know, with my son, Nicholas. Dude, we had 6 o'clock practice. Y'all are going to love this. And I'm bragging for sure. This is a dad brag. We had 6 o'clock practice for a week and a half at our school at North Oconee. And he's a freshman. He's doing it. He was up every single morning at 5 a.m. with his Bible on the couch. I'm like, dude, like, yes. Like, and then we go to practice. You think, I don't give a crap what he does in football. I really don't. Like, I don't watch him. I don't coach him. I'm like, dude, we have, and I'm telling my friends this more and more, the older they get, I think you would agree with this, the less influence we have. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I think the less that they're really going to absorb, take in, the less time we get with them as they drive and as they get older, they go to school more and more. Man, what do you want to use it on? And that's what I don't want to use it up on football. I don't want to use it up on that crap. I want to use it up on the good stuff. Like, I want to have the influence in the area that matters the most in his life. And just watching him do that, man, it's nuts and it's cool. But, and again, it's been a process and it's been a while, but the life on life and finding people that you can find, people that want it, mm-hmm. that want to do it. And those people that want to do it, man, you got to make an effort. You know what I figured out? Like, when I don't do it, when I know people really, really want it, that's just me being selfish. I mean, realistically, mm-hmm. that's all me. When you find somebody that's hungry and chomping at the bit and asking questions and want to get better and you don't feed them, like, you're just a jerk. And I've been a jerk a lot. Like, you are. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm just selfish. I've done it so many times with people that do want to change, and I don't give them the time of day because I'm busy. Don't give me that bull crap. And so it's been really, really cool. And again, I'm in a new stage of life and I have more time. And would I have done that beforehand? Yeah. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I hope so, but I know now I'll make sure I make it a priority.
Yeah, and you can't pour your life. You can't have a life-on-life relationship with everybody. I mean, you look at Jesus, he chose 12.
Yep.
And then, of course, he had the inner circle, Peter, James, and John. And so you have to choose people. And we've talked about this before, but I call it fat people.
Which, that's rude, you know. It's not nice.
I've heard you refer to yourself as fat boy.
I can call myself fat. You shouldn't call other people fat. I'm just saying that's rude, especially women.
Acronym, faithful, available, teachable. Are they faithful to do the, like, if you ask them to, hey.
Are you fat?
Are you fat? Yeah. Faithful? I asked this guy, so I was discipling some guys at West Georgia back
like
in the day.
I like that, by the way. I'm gonna steal that. And, can I steal that?
Sure.
Did you come up with that?
I probably did not come up with that. Most everything I have has come from somebody else.
Are you fat?
Yeah, so faithful, available, and teachable. I asked this kid at West Georgia. He was on the cross country team, a guy named Trent Funk. I said, are you fat? He said, about 6%. About 4%.
Dude, hey, that's fit, though.
Oh, he was about the fittest guy I've ever seen.
That dude's fit as a fiddle if it's that little percentage.
Yeah, he went in the military, and then he was a cross country runner. But yeah, faithful. So like Khalil, like he says he wants to stack these habits. Well, is he going to read his chapter? Was he faithful in reading the chapter? The second thing I look at is, are they available? So if we're going to have discipleship group, are they in town? Are they going to be around? Or can they show up? Are they going to be at church? And then are they teachable? Like some people, are they teachable to me? Like they just want to tell you everything, but are they open to what you have to speak into their life? So faithful, available, teachable. Are they fat? Because you don't waste your time with somebody who's not available. Like,
yep.
They're only coming to church, you know, one Sunday a month. Well, they're not really available, you know. And if you're going to read a book and they show up and they hadn't read the first chapter, or, you know, well, they're not really faithful. And then the third thing is, are they teachable? Are they teachable to really to me, you know?
I like that. I'm stealing that for sure.
There you go.
I just like the
and it's a good acronym.
Well, I like the way you start that too. You know, I'm at Liberty and it's 9,000 students, and I'm like, listen, y'all got to be fat. Excuse me, what?
Yeah, you're gonna grab their attention,
correct?
Like, especially coming from you.
Yeah, you fatties.
Yeah,
you got to be fat. I like that. It's good. It's really good.
So I know last time, how long ago was it you broke your neck?
September 17th, 2006.
2006. So was it 17 years ago?
It's been a hot minute.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
So the main verse was the Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Has there been some Bible verses that you've been clinging to in this season of life? Are you going back to that one? Or are you more like?
I hate to answer that question with that. Yeah, I have. I mean, I have gone back to that one for sure. And it's just because I know me, and I know my intensity, mm-hmm. propensity to be go, 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 and go find something and go do something. So that's definitely been probably the biggest one for me, is just to be still, calm down. You know, I told you about the book I'm reading, and I think we're going to get into it at some point, probably in the near future. But just learning to slow down, learning to be more present, learning to enjoy more of the stuff that I didn't get to enjoy and take in every moment. So it's definitely been on top of my head.
I was thinking of a couple of verses that apply to you. One is Proverbs 16:9. A man plans his ways, but the Lord determines his steps.
It's a great one.
And I think you've been doing that, because you had this whole plan, but now it's just, okay, God's gonna determine the steps.
I like your little plan you got. Yeah, bye-bye.
The other thought I had was James 4:13-14. It says, now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we'll go to this and or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. You know, kind of like... Because you can have all these plans, say we're going to do this, we're going to do that, but God may have a completely different plan.
Yeah, those are great. I need to start incorporating that in my prayers.
And then I was thinking a verse I've seen you write.
Proverbs 3:5-6.
Yeah. I've seen you write that on when you sign your autograph.
Yep.
And that's kind of where you are right now, trusting the Lord with all your heart.
Not my understanding, but yours. Direct my path. Yep.
Well, I want to tell you, God's got a big plan for your life. And from someone kind of from the outside, you know, looking, not that I'm so much from the outside, but I've seen your life.
Oh yeah.
Over the last 15 years, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And God's got a big plan for your life. And I cannot wait to see what he does in you and through you.
I do know 100% that the gas will be pushed to the floor. I do know that. I do know that this is probably something that you say, oh, you don't want that to continue to exist. And I think the devil says, I don't want you to use that. And maybe you don't. Yeah. Family goals, faith, full gas to the floor.
Thank you. I mean, it's just crazy to see everybody reach out and say the kind words. Just really, really cool. And in this circumstances, it's always hard, man. You never know what's coming, but you do realize you made an impact, and that's greater than just about anything you can have. So I just thank you for reaching out to me on social, to Family Goals, to the Pollock Family Foundation. Those are things that we're going to continue to grow and continue to build, but it was humbling, and it was just something that was really, really cool, and in a time that stunk, to see so many people reach out and be such a light and be a blessing. So thank y'all very much.
Thank you for listening to the Family Goals Podcast with David Pollock and Pastor Jay, and welcome to Season 5.